Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Welcome to the middle of the holiday season. I don't know if every part of the world celebrates some sort of winter holiday festivities, but I think a lot of us do. I think a lot of us find ourselves in the middle of some sort of traditional, habitual, familial, celebratory season. And so I cannot speak for everyone. I think many of us do, but I will speak for myself that I find myself smack in the middle of it because I live in America and I am Jewish, but I also was raised by parents who thought Christmas was beautiful and fun and full of magic. So although I am fully Jewish, I was raised celebrating Christmas every year. We had a Christmas tree every year of my life. I didn't understand, and I mean no disrespect to people who are very religious about Christmas. I'm just speaking from my own experience. I didn't know for many, many years of my life as a child that Christmas had anything to do with a religion or a culture or an identification as a Christian. I honestly thought just Christmas was magical and beautiful and so exciting and so full of the most fun, exciting, awesome, magic energy. That was what I knew of Christmas as a child. I didn't always have an easy time growing up. My parents certainly didn't have an easy time financially, but somehow Christmas was always, they just made it amazing for me. I have to say it's one of my best memories of childhood. And because it wasn't attached to anything complicated for me, it was just awesome. So that's what I really try to do for my kids. But since I'm also Jewish, we just finished celebrating the 8 nights of Hanukkah, which is also really beautiful. I love lighting the candles and singing the prayer. I love watching my children sing the prayer. I love inviting their friends over. You know, if someone has a friend over that night and them joining us, and it's just great. It's great. So there is magic to the holidays, but I also understand for many, many of us, the holidays can be really, really complicated. And so I hope for you that if this is involving some conflict or some difficulty with family or some sadness because of something related to the holiday season that triggers you, or some sadness because you lost somebody either this year, maybe it's COVID related, or maybe you've just lost somebody around this time of year, so it's hard to feel the joy that seems prescribed during this time of year, I just send you a lot of love and connection. We all are in different places at all times. And mine is really complicated this year, personally, because as many of you know, I have recently discussed publicly that I went through a divorce this past year. It's now final. And so this is the first holiday season where my family is looking a little bit different, and that can bring emotions. Different people have different emotions in my family about it. So it's just, it's always complicated. And you know what? Being a human being is complicated. So I just want to include everybody in. Here we are. Most likely you're celebrating some sort of holiday season, or at least reflective upon it. And so let's just make a seat at the table for every single one of us, for every single one of our experiences, and just be here together today. There are a couple opportunities if you want to be in the space with me, if you want to share my energy and my space and that of my instructors that travel with me and teach with me. Three opportunities. One, the first is if you would like to come to my weekend retreat, April 8th through the 10th at the Art of Living Retreat Center in Boone, North Carolina. Lisa Schlossberg, Caroline Dewey, and I will be there. I'm so excited. It's just going to be beautiful because we'll only have Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Usually I teach at Omega for a whole week. We are going to pack it in. It is going to be so rich and so connected and so awesome. I have no doubt. I just know these things because I know what it feels like to be in the space together. So that is every retreat I have is available on my website on the retreats tab. The virtual opportunity is May. I think it's the 13th through the 15th. It's a virtual weekend retreat. Same instructors, same materials. I mean, sort of same materials. You know, everything happens a little differently when we're together in person. But certainly if you can't travel or if you're in different parts of the world, that is also going to be incredible. This is going to be my fourth weekend, full weekend retreat since COVID began. They are all stunning. They're all incredibly amazing considering that they're virtual. And then of course, my week-long Omega retreat just went on sale. It is going to be August 8th through the 12th. So please go check those out on my retreats tab if you want to hang out with me. It's a deep experience, something you won't forget. You won't leave the same person you came. I can promise you that. So, okay. Today we're going back to basics. And the reason we're going back to basics is because I pay attention to my community. I pay attention to the emails, the DMs, the comments on my Journal Speak page. Anything, by the way, you need to know about this work, you can find on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. So if anything here that I'm talking about interests you or confuses you. So a lot of people are writing me, what is TMS? I don't know anything. So these are the comments I'm getting. What is TMS? I don't really know anything about Dr. Sarno. And, you know, what do you really mean when you say do the work? So I know that this podcast goes back many moons and there are specific episodes on this stuff, but I also think it's helpful since we're going on 3 years of this podcast to have a back to basics episode, because first of all, I think any repetition, if you're doing this kind of work, is incredibly helpful because we're working on the human brain, and the human brain thrives with repetition because all of us are just like dry plants. I say this often, which is it's like having a big plant that's just gone a little dry. So if you pour a gallon of water on a dry plant, a certain amount is going to absorb, but a certain amount that the plant is not ready for is going to spill over into the containment pan, whatever you call it, the drip pan of plants. And so, our brains are not capable of taking in more information than they can handle. They'll take in what they can handle, what seems safe and what seems reasonable, and then the rest will just fall off. And it doesn't mean that the rest is wasted. It just means that you only took in what you could take in. And what I've learned about things that I study, this past couple of years, I've put a lot of energy into studying the work of Ram Dass. And that's just for me personally. That's not related to my professional work, but it's my sort of spiritual / human work. I listen to things that he talks about over and over again. And oftentimes he repeats himself many, many, many times in different lectures. And I learn something new every time. And so I know that the human brain, from my own experience, thrives in repetition and thrives in hearing stuff just a little bit differently. And so just welcome that. If you're a person who's listened to every single episode of this podcast 3 times, you still will get something out of this episode because it's just about where your brain is at this very moment, and it's never been right here before. So I want to talk about, so if you heard the term TMS, TMS is sort of a really slippery slope for me, and I'm going to explain why. And I'm also going to explain why I still use it. If you've heard the term TMS and you've tried to look it up, I am sorry because I know it is impossible to find a definition of TMS on the internet. And we're such a Google society. We're such an internet, I can look it up society. And it always cracks me up because, you know, I have these children. I have these 3 teenagers. They are 19, 17, and 13, almost 14. Her birthday is 2 days after Christmas. And they never go a freaking moment without the information that they need. I mean, guys, you know, I'm 49. So my people, my people between the ages of, let's say, 40 and above, can you imagine how crazy it was? Like when we were kids, like you didn't, if you didn't know who sang a song or what information, you know, what historical information you were curious about or who's married to who or did so-and-so have a baby with, I mean, whatever, you just had to freaking wonder. I mean, unless you were going to go to the library and open up a card catalog and really figure it out or go to your Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, you had to call your cousin who's in the know, you know? I mean, it's just crazy that everything is available to, at our fingertips today. But what's also crazy and what can be frustrating for people is if the information you want is not directly available at your fingertips, you get frustrated and you either give up or feel wronged, the injustice. But I get it. I have become assimilated, you know, although I am an old lady, I have become assimilated. And I agree. I want the information I want immediately at my fingertips. My phone is never, you know, further than 5 feet from my body, which I regret and I hate and I also love and I also feel like I give up and I give into it. But anyway, when you look up TMS, you get a lot of weird stuff, some imaging, some something, I don't even know. I'm not even going to try to explain it. Here is what TMS means when you hear it out of my mouth. Dr. John Sarno was my mentor. He passed away several years ago. He lived into his 90s. He was an incredible genius. If you don't know who Dr. Sarno is, you can look him up and it will come up properly. He was an attending physician at the Rusk Center for Rehabilitation at NYU Medical Center for many, many years, 50 plus years. He originally was, I think he originally got his first fellowship in pediatrics, and then he was working with rehabilitative medicine for years. And then he started discovering when he was dealing with his patients that the places that they were hurting did not fully align. It didn't make sense the way their pain was moving around, the way they would get, you know, a shoulder pain, but then they would get a back pain, but then it would go down their leg for sciatica. They would get shin splints. They had foot problems. And then all of a sudden these people would start getting migraines and they seemed unrelated. He didn't agree with the, at the time, limited Western medical explanation for structural abnormalities and the way they were presenting in the human body. And what he started doing was inquiring with people about how they were feeling. And what he started to see was a connection with people's discontent, mostly anger, which he thinks was more the flavor of anger that comes through as that societal, unpopular and not polite word, rage. So not just anger, rage, that was not acceptable for people to express societally, so that they would repress it. And that repressed rage would come out. And the first book he wrote was about back pain. His first book was Mind Over Back Pain. And what he estimated at the time was that there was a oxygen deprivation, a very mild oxygen deprivation, and this is probably in the 50s or 60s he was coming up with this, that caused the body to experience severe pain. Severe could be a pain enough to keep you bedridden, but was harmless. And it was a result of the brain and the nervous system's response to the need to repress this rage. So this is his very, very early basic theory. And what he called this, when he came up with it, this mild oxygen deprivation to certain muscle groups and nerves that was affecting somebody's ability to, that was causing pain as a result of these repressed emotions. He called it TMS, tension myositis syndrome. Now, is this important for you and me as laymen, as non-doctors to understand? No. Is it helpful to pick apart the whole oxygen deprivation model now in 2021? No. As in most medical science, things evolve and evolve and evolve. and they continue to become more clear and more true and more provable, which we are living in an absolute different world than in the 50s and 60s when Sarno was coming up with this stuff. And so TMS, tension myositis syndrome, which was furthermore evolved into tension myoneural syndrome, is still used by many, many people in the mind-body community to label a huge number of different ailments that people are experiencing as a result of their stored trauma, their repressed emotional world, you know, what Bessel van der Kolk would call the body keeps the score, what Gabor Mate would call when the body says no, you know, the very proven and absolutely true way that our bodies express what our emotional world is not either prepared, capable, or allowed to express. Okay, so the truth of what's happening in our bodies as a result of the mind-body connection and the brain and the nervous system's response to repressed emotions and stored trauma is the capital T truth. The reason that the word, the acronym TMS, is tricky is because what people do is they try to understand, and this is just part of, by the way, the nervous system trying to protect you, intellectualizing, it's a defense mechanism, intellectualizing this term TMS and saying, well, I want to understand what it means and what exactly is it, and this doesn't make sense to me, and this oxygen deprivation thing doesn't fly. I get it, but you know, what's our primary purpose here? Our primary purpose here is to feel better. Our primary purpose here is to live in absolute freedom, to not allow your diagnosis to define you, to transcend it, to not allow the structural abnormality that you see on an MRI, that you see on an X-ray, that you feel is proof of your physical pain, to see that may not be the case, as is true for me and thousands and thousands and thousands of people I have worked with or witnessed or heard from over the years. So that's the primary purpose. The primary purpose is we are free of chronic pain and we're living in absolute freedom. So the term TMS can be tricky because it gets people all confused and thinking and looking stuff up. And I don't think that's helpful. So one might say, Nicole, why do you still use the word TMS? Why do you say that we are all TMSers? So let me get a little deeper into that. So as I said, TMS for Dr. Sarno was, it began with back pain. It began with a way to explain the process by which we experience pain in our bodies as a result of our repressed emotions. But then he understood and wrote about in his subsequent books, there are a lot of things called TMS equivalents, which means that it's not just back pain. It's fibromyalgia. It's migraines. It's pelvic pain. It's irritable bowel disease. It's so many things that the Western medical model would never, ever relate to one another, but they're all a result of the same thing, the brain and the nervous system's response to these repressed emotions. And I talk about this a lot, so I'm just kind of touching on it today. So he used the word TMS it just became a placeholder. It became an acronym that helped people not have to say every single time, oh, well, this is just the way, you know, it's manifesting for me right now. You know, it's my TMS equivalent. It was just an easier way to label it. So TMS now, in my mind and in many people in my field, just is a word like, where's your TMS today? Or, oh God, you know, my blah, blah, blah hurts. I know it's TMS. I got to get to my journal speaker. I'm practicing acceptance, or I'm practicing self-compassion. I've got a lot going on right now. I'm having a terrible headache today. Oh my God, it's such TMS. It's just a way to feel like you just can understand what's going on with you. And in the world of my work, it becomes a really quick kind of cliff notes-y way to get to what's going on. So I'll give you an example. So my best friend Danielle, who is a TMS warrior, meaning she's had tons of different equivalents, and she has, oh my God, I'm just so freaking proud of her. And I just love her so much for her bravery and her persistence in this. It shows up differently. She's been on this podcast twice, but I know it shows up for her. She did show up for her as running eyes, like her eyes would just tear all the time. That was her original TMS that brought her in to really embrace my work. But she's had lots of stuff. She's had anxiety. She's had bodily pain. She's had stomach stuff. She's had back pain. And as any human being, she's experiencing some of her emotional world and some of her trauma that's coming up and her triggers as physical manifestations. And so she journals and she does the work and she's free. She's chronic pain free, my girl. But the reason I bring her name up is because she was diagnosed last week with COVID. It's mild and she's okay. And she is, you know, she's moving through it. She's vaccinated. It's just, so she got it mildly. You know, she obviously just had one of the more virulent strains and she was exposed to it. She doesn't know where. So she has COVID. And she's okay. The reason I'm saying that is because I was with her the day before she got diagnosed. Actually, I'm sorry. I was with her the day before she had began symptoms. So I was with her on Tuesday and she woke up Tuesday in the middle of the night, which is actually Wednesday morning, with a sore throat. And that was the beginning of the COVID for her. And so we were really concerned. And she also had spent time with my son, Oliver. So we were really concerned that, that I had it. So of course, immediately I got tested. I was negative. Oliver was negative. And we were quarantining just for, you know, a brief period of time so we could keep testing to make sure we didn't have COVID. So I had taken the negative test that day. So I called up Danny and we were talking and she's like, how are you feeling? And I said, I have TMS COVID. And, you know, that's a language. It's a language we both understand because what she knew, and we were laughing about it because what we both knew is we both knew I definitely didn't have COVID because the test doesn't lie. And I had taken two, so he really knew I didn't have COVID. But I was feeling like I had a headache and I was feeling a little bit under the weather. You know, I'm like, do I have a scratchy throat? I said, I keep searching for a sore throat. Now, I know why I was very triggered because Charlotte, my sweet baby, my 13, almost 14-year-old, is going to be Clara in the Nutcracker next weekend. And we can't have COVID right now. I mean, we're all vaccinated and whatever, but doesn't obviously mean that you don't even get like a touch of it. And we can't have COVID right now. I just cannot have it because she has been waiting to be Clara in the Nutcracker since she was starting as a little sweet baby in the Nutcracker when she was 7. And now she is going to be the star of the show. And so when I said I have TMS COVID, we laughed because obviously my mind-body system was very, very inflamed and very anxious and concerned that this could befall us. I'm out of the time frame now, so now I'm safe. But and I was getting like symptomy, you know, things that could be considered early COVID. And I took another test, and I didn't. But I guess what I'm saying is, TMS represents in the world of people who understand it. Basically, what you're saying is, my symptoms are real. My headache was real. I took Advil. I was feeling unwell. My symptoms are real. They are not in my head. I am not creating them, not consciously. I mean, my nervous system might be creating them, but I have no control over that. I am experiencing physical discomfort in some form or another that is the result of a fight or flight alert from my nervous system and my brain that is causing my body to feel things as a result of my brain and my nervous system feeling that the physical manifestations are safer than whatever terror or fear or shame or anger or rage or embarrassment or regret or whatever I have brewing in the back of my unconsciousness is too dangerous to feel. This is, by the way, not our choice. This is the brain and the nervous system. We slowly can rewire our neural pathways. And I'm 1,000 billion times better than I was when I first began this journey. And I'm better than I was last week. And I'm better than I was last month because it just keeps getting better. But the point is we live in a mind-body system. Sometimes you feel things in your heart and in your fear and in your experience of being a human. And sometimes you feel things in your physical body and they are interchangeable. So for Danny and I to be able to have this interchange and just for me to say, yeah, I'm having TMS COVID, I'm good. And, you know, I guess time will tell if it's actual COVID. And when I wake up the next morning and I felt great and I was like, okay, it was just TMS. It's okay. That is what happens to human beings. We are dry plants. We can't feel it all. Sometimes the body needs to hold a little bit for us. But if we know what's happening and we don't get caught in fear and meaning, then nothing becomes chronic ever. And so, so that's TMS. Now, when I first wrote my book, I don't even know if the word, if the acronym TMS is in it. I have to go back and look. But I know that I kind of paused and stopped using TMS for a while because I didn't want to confuse people. I didn't want to get people all thinky and like having to look things up and get confused and block themselves from their journey, because the journey is really to say, I get it. My brain and my nervous system have as much to do with what I feel in my body as dropping a hammer on my foot. Dropping a hammer on your foot is a stimulus, and so is a trigger as a result of trauma rising to the surface. Those are both stimuli, and the response could be an aching foot or an aching foot. And I am just telling you straight up, this is the truth. I have experienced it so many millions of times in my own body and with other people. I just promise you this is true. And so because of that, you know, I didn't want to confuse people and get people all caught up in looking things up. But because over the years, it has felt too helpful. It's been too helpful to go back to TMS. First of all, because anyone who reads Sarno, which is something that I recommend all the time because his theory is the basis of everything I've evolved. He was my mentor. He was my dear friend. He was my doctor. I'm always recommending Sarno. And so if you read Sarno, you're going to start using the word, oh, it's my TMS. Oh, my TMS is showing up as fibromyalgia right now. And it's really, really challenging me. It freaking hurts. I'm really, really depressed about it. That's a sentence that a lot of people in this world understand. And so I kind of went back to using it. And so, you know, I want to just, I think I'm doing a decent job explaining it so people no longer are confused when they say, what is TMS? So now you know. And you know who Dr. Sarno is. He was my mentor. He was the doctor. So if you're interested in knowing my story, just go back to the first episode of this podcast. It's called My Story. It will explain precisely my relationship with Dr. Sarno. There's also another episode on TMS. I haven't re-listened to it, so maybe it'll sound similar to this. He's an incredible genius. He's the author of 5 best-selling books, Mind Over Back Pain, Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Prescription, The Divided Mind, maybe 4 books. Am I missing one? 4 books. And The Mind-Body Prescription is my personal favorite. The Divided Mind is great, but it just gets – it's a bit more complicated, and it has other doctors that are writing chapters in it. So if you are just new to this work, The Mind-Body Prescription is a fantastic book. It shows you – it's written by a medical doctor. It is – it shows you the exact stuff of what's going on in your body. And then you can hop over to me and get yourself well. So now let's talk a bit about journal speak and doing the work. And so once again, a review, but also an important review. So when I first understood that my pain in my back, so my first introduction into this world of chronic pain was my back pain. When I first understood through really getting it with Dr. Sarno, and I'm talking about my time that I actually went into the city and met with him. When I understood that TMS pain can be so severe that it can put you in a wheelchair. You know, this is not light, oh, it's just like I'm a little stressed out. This is a manifestation born of a nervous system in such fight or flight that it believes you are safer in bed and immobilized. So this is no joke. When I understood that TMS pain can be that severe, but it had nothing to do with my incredibly terrifying MRI, that was a real revelation, because my MRI of acute degenerative spondylolisthesis made orthopedic surgeons go pale. They looked at this film and they said, oh, you don't move. Don't move. Sit down. Stay still. You're broken. You could break so hard. You could break in half. Now, I know I'm being hyperbolic here, but what I'm saying is you should see a doctor's face when they see my films. It's crazy. And guys and girls and peeps, my people, there is nothing wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with me. My back never hurts. They told me I could never have biological children because the weight of the baby would put me in such danger. I gave birth to my three children. I gained tons of weight. My God, did I eat? And my belly was enormous. And I exercised till the day they were born. I carry them. I carry their suitcases. I am just a very I run. I travel everywhere. I do everything always. My MRI looks exactly the same, which means that either I was born that way and it's just a normal abnormality and it's the way I look, just like I have a different size nose and hands and legs and arms than the next guy, or I sustained some sort of fall or injury. I did fall off a horse once and dislocated my shoulder when I was like probably about 10. I don't know. I think the likelihood is I was born that way, but the point is that's the way I look. It was never the reason for my pain. And I know that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow for people because it seemed so obvious. You know, you guys with bulging discs and with different spondylolisthesis and with different stenosis and with different bone on bone and arthritis and you're missing the cartilage. I know Barb, who's one of the Barb Mastrioni is one of the podcast guests that I have had on the her hip MRI. Oh my good Lord. It's like she doesn't, it's like almost she doesn't even have cartilage or something. I don't know. She has no pain. She has no pain. It's the way she looks on the inside. It doesn't always account for our pain. And it's so, so hard for people to believe. But I guess the reason I'm saying this is when I first met Dr. Sarno, he looked at my films and he asked me where my pain was showing up. And I explained to him that I had lower back pain, but it wasn't always in the same place. Sometimes it just felt like a hot knife dragging through my back, but sometimes it migrated down and it was really painful in my butt. Sometimes it was sciatica and it went all the way down my leg. Sometimes I felt it on my whole right side, like it started in my shoulder and then it went down my scapula and sometimes I even felt it in the bottom of my foot. And he almost laughed. But he knew that wasn't kind. But I saw that smile behind his eyes. And he said, there is no way that this finding that you're showing me that you're being told is so severe is the reason for the where your pain is showing. But there's no medical reason. There's no way as a medical doctor that that is possible. And he said, you have something called TMS. And he examined me. He gave me a full medical examination. And he said, you have TMS, which means that you were probably very angry inside. And I looked at him all doe-eyed because I am just like honestly a really sort of gentle person. I don't almost ever raise my voice. I grew up with a rageaholic, daily drinking father who screamed all the time. And the word anger feels like it couldn't be further from me. And I said, I'm angry? And he goes, oh, you're full of rage. And honestly, I wasn't in the way that you still wouldn't see it in me, but there were parts of me that was screaming to be heard. And when I understood that my pain was not a result of me being broken, I allowed that to fall away. And I jumped in with four paws, I like to say. I just jumped into his work and I started doing the work. And once again, if you're interested in my story, it's everywhere. I write about it in detail in my book, The Meaning of Truth. And I understood that if I had these feelings and if these feelings were causing my nervous system to go into a sustained fight or flight that was channeling pain to different parts of my body, then the only way to get the pain to stop and the nervous system to stop feeling the need to protect me and divert me and channel the pain was to feel the feelings. And before I could feel the feelings, I had to know what the hell they were. And that is where journal speak came in. Now, of course, there was no such thing as journal speak at the time because I created it as I lived it, but that's what happened. And so he explained this to me. And I went to the page, and like I said, all of this stuff is available in many stories that I tell, and I got to some really deep truths. So that's what doing the work is. What doing the work is there is three facets to my work. Believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. Believe is what we're doing here, is what I'm trying to help you understand through explaining TMS and explaining Dr. Sarno, is that in order for this to help you, your nervous system has to settle into some level of safety for you to open these doors. And it can't open the doors if it thinks that this stuff is so dangerous or so unbelievable or this is such bullshit. It'll close the doors tight. Belief opens the door. Belief is the pinprick of light in the dark you have been living in. And if you can't believe it, just suspend your disbelief and say, if Nicole believes it, I'll borrow her belief. If all of these hundreds of people interviewed on this podcast believe it, I will borrow their belief. I'll borrow their experience, and I will try this for myself. And so belief is the first aspect of my work. Now, do the work is a journal speak practice. Go on my website. Look under the resources tab. There's a whole tab called How to Journal Speak. Get my book. You can read the story and you can read specifically. There's a chapter called The Journey to Journal Speak, and then there's a chapter called Journal Speak. So, I mean, there's a chapter called How. This is available to you. And then patience and kindness for yourself. And I also talk a lot about self-compassion. It's so important. It's so important because when we hate ourselves and we judge ourselves and we criticize ourselves, we're only taking ourselves one step forward and three steps back. And trust me, I have deep empathy for those of you self-haters out there because I am my own worst critic. It is definitely one of my TMS personality traits that I tend to beat the shit out of myself, whereas I would show such compassion for others. I have such a compassionate heart for others. And I do not always show that to myself, but I'm learning and I'm always getting better. And you know what? We can remain teachable for all our days. I mean, my mother is going to be 82 in January, and she does this work. She has this mindset, and she is keeping herself from being chronically ill as a person who is in her 80s. So beautifully as a result of understanding these theories. And so you're never too old and you're never unable and you are never too far gone and your case is never the most serious, I promise you. So that's what I'm talking about when I say TMS, when I say Sarno, when I say do the work. This is what I'm talking about. This is the basics of what I do. And it is an invitation. It is an invitation. So I kind of want to close this podcast by saying this. One of my favorite things that ever sort of floated into my consciousness and came out of my mouth, so I'll call it a quote by me, but it's who knows where this lovely information comes from. It's just it's magical that I'm able to know this and share it. But one of the favorite things I say is chronic pain, or and you can replace the word chronic pain with your chronic IBS, your pelvic issues, your anxiety, your depression, your OCD, your any affliction of your body, your chronic fatigue, your low energy, your lack of joy for life. So whatever that is for you, whatever's keeping you stuck and scared and feeling like you are not open to all the possibilities for joy in life, whatever that is for you, it's just an entry point. It is an entry point that brings you to the precipice of the truths that have been awaiting your acknowledgement. It is an entry point that brings you to the sweet and scared little kid inside who has been waiting to be heard. And when you do, and when you acknowledge what you have been through and what you are going through and what you are triggered into, not only do your chronic symptoms fall away because there's no longer a reason for your brain and your nervous system to protect you with them, you are opened to an entirely new freedom and new possibility for living. It is not easy. It is not painless. There is no cure for the human condition. We will always hurt. We will always suffer. Because so many things cause suffering. My love for my children on their best day, on the day where everything's going right and their smiles are so big and their eyes are so twinkly and full of joy, my pain of having them and knowing them and loving them is excruciating. Because I just love them so much. And what if they're hurt? And what if somebody isn't nice? And what if this moment of twinkly eyes doesn't last forever? So, you know, fuck me. That's life. So no matter how glorious your TMS journey is, you will still suffer. But you know what? Here we are. Here we are because this is life and there's no getting around it. Because this is the reason we're here. We're here to feel it all, good and bad. But we're here to be integrated, not to be stuck. When we're in the midst of a chronic condition of any sort, even if it's just chronic lack of joy for life or feeling empty, that's enough to keep us from the sunlight of this journey, of this life. And so that's what we're here for. We're here to feel it all because feeling it all is why we're here. I'm sorry. I know you do not always want to feel it all. And trust me, neither do I, but here we are. So I love you. I get it. I know how hard it can be, but I also know how stunning and beautiful it can be. And it's all here for us. We just have to left foot, right foot, breathe. We just have to invite in our willingness and see what happens next. And you don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year or next millennia. Just be with me here. Be here now, as my friend Ram Dass says. Be here now with me as best you can. And if you can't, take a pause and see if you can be here with me in the next moment. All right, guys. Well, I send you big love and connection. I hope your holidays, whatever they are to you, are as lovely as they can be. And maybe that's really lovely. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask you from my heart, even though it's annoying and everything is hard, to just go over to iTunes and rate and review it because it helps people find it. And I always love to read your reviews. And until next time, this has been Nicole with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.